My friend, welcome back to another episode of the School of Greatness. I am excited. We have Sanada Greca, who is Kim Kardashian's personal fitness and health trainer. And this is just not another episode about how to start off the new year with healthy habits. This is about how to really rewire your thinking around your body, your health, and your mental fitness altogether. You're about to listen to a very raw and inspiring conversation with Sanada Greca. She immigrated to America as a teenager. She battled eating disorders to become one of the most influential figures in women's strength training. And she opens up about her remarkable journey of transformation, the struggles she faced as a teenager in her young 20s, to where she is now with physical training, mental training, health and wellness. And as Kim Kardashian's personal trainer and the founder of the We Rise app, she's revolutionizing how women approach fitness by championing strength over aesthetics. And this is a big challenge for a lot of men and women today. With social media and everyone filtering their photos and just posting six-pack abs or these perfect shapes of bodies, it's hard to not feel insecure. It's hard to not feel shameful about your own body when you see other people who just seem to have it all put together. And it feels like no matter how hard you try, you're never going to get the results you want in your physical aesthetics. I've been there. I've struggled with weight and my nutrition and health and wellness as a former professional athlete to then just consuming, you know, thousands and thousands of excess calories after retiring from playing sports and gaining a lot of weight, to then trying to retrain, but still eating a ton of calories, to being addicted to sugar, to all these different things that I've struggled with. It's challenging. It's challenging for anyone of any type of background, especially if you're in social media at all and you see people posting stuff that just seems like, man, these people have either extreme genetics or they've just figured out the health and wellness hack. And I haven't, right? It's just this kind of comparison, shaming thing that might happen over and over. And if that's resonating with you, if that speaks to you in any way, then please let me know over on Instagram or anywhere on social media. Let me know if that speaks to you, because it's a challenge. I get it. And there almost needs to be a way where you rewire your identity. You shift your identity. And it has taken me years to learn this process. And it doesn't mean I'm perfect all the time, but it has taken me a long time to create a new identity with food, to create a new identity with training, and to do it from a place where I'm not obsessive over needing to look a certain way, but I've set standards for myself and boundaries for myself to set myself up for success. And I think you've got to figure out whatever's best for you. In today's episode, her powerful message about building muscle for longevity and mental health rather than just appearance is reshaping the conversation around fitness, specifically for women in general, who've always thought about not weight training because it's going to make them look bulky. They don't want to have big arms or big shoulders or things like that. They don't want to look, you know, too masculine. And there are so many different experts we've had on, menopause experts as well, who are saying, I wish I would have done more strength training when I was younger. I wish I would have built muscle when I was younger, because it helps more than just physical appearance. It helps longevity and mental health. And that's what I think we need to be focused on. How can we have the best mental and emotional health possible in 2025 and beyond? How can we weather any storm that comes our way? How can we weather relationship challenges, career challenges, you know, family issues? How can we weather political challenges? How can we emotionally and mentally prepare ourselves for any challenge that's to come so that we feel more equipped to take on the challenges of life? That's what this is about. And in the process of doing that, of building muscle for longevity and mental health, you're gonna look great naked. And that's fun too. You're gonna look great with your shirt off or naked in the mirror or with your partner. It's like, hey, you're gonna feel more confident. You're gonna feel more secure with yourself because you don't have shame around your body as well. And I want you to feel loved this year and beyond. I want you to feel like you fully accept yourself. I want you to feel like you deserve to receive all that you want to receive this year and beyond. And I truly believe that when you just set different standards for yourself, and again, not extreme yo-yo dieting or extreme kind of weird eating disorders, but just standards and boundaries around how you eat and how you move, you're going to feel more in control and responsible for your life. So this episode dives deep into personal growth, overcoming body issue challenges, and finding purpose through empowering others. If you're loving this and you're enjoying this episode, please share this with one or two friends. Just copy and paste the link over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Copy the link, text one or two friends, and have them share with you their biggest takeaway as well. Leave me a review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and let me know your biggest takeaway from this episode. It would mean a lot to me. Click the follow button over there as well. And again, I'm so grateful for you for being a part of this community with the School of Greatness. And let's dive into this episode right now.
Do you own a business that's ready to thrive? Let Intuit QuickBooks take things like unpaid invoices and tracking expenses off your plate to take things to the next level. Intuit QuickBooks is an all-in-one business platform that can help with day-to-day tasks like invoicing and expenses. Manage and grow your business all in one place. Intuit QuickBooks, your way to money. Money movement services are provided by Intuit Payments, Inc., licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
What a play! Thanks for having us over for game day. This sure is quite the spread. I'd hate to be on dish duty tonight.
With my game plan, those dishes don't stand a chance against my secret weapon, Finish Ultimate.
Finish Ultimate?
You bet. I've been practicing all year, and with the help of Finish, I know I can be the ultimate game day host. All right, hands in. Finish on three.
Finish!
Tackle big messes and impress your guests with Finish Ultimate.
And now, a next-level moment from AT&T Business. Say you've sent out a gigantic shipment of pillows, and they need to be there in time for International Sleep Day. You've got AT&T 5G, so you're fully confident. But the vendor isn't responding, and International Sleep Day is tomorrow. Luckily, AT&T 5G lets you deal with any issues with ease, so the pillows will get delivered and everyone can sleep soundly, especially you. AT&T 5G requires a compatible plan and device. 5G is not available everywhere. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness. Very excited about our guest. We have the inspiring Sanata Greca in the house. So good to see you, and congrats on everything.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
I've seen you just kind of like take over the Instagram feed, and the Explore page for years of your content of just inspiring and empowering women to see what's possible for their health, their bodies, and they're really their strength, mm-hmm. and to show what is possible. You've been an inspiration for so many women around the world. You reach millions of women and lots of people on a daily basis. And but it wasn't always that way for you, it seems like. I've read some of your backstory. You deal with some challenges, some anxiety, some depression, some mm-hmm. body issue challenges as well. What would you say were the main challenges you've faced either earlier in your life or your teen years mm-hmm. before you got into a healthy body image and healthy lifestyle for yourself? What were the main challenges you faced?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, so coming into the United States as a teenager presented a lot of issues with fitting in. And I think that was kind of the first, if you want to say, foray into like the issues that started at that point, is how does this foreigner fit in and integrate and look like, the other kids in the popular yeah. kids. So I think that's
Did you speak English too or no?
I was an English speaker at the time. I'd taken private courses back in Albania and, in preparation of like either coming to the States, or it's like the main foreign language at the time in Albania. So started on that path, and the opportunity presented itself for my family to come here by winning the lottery and the green card. So we're like legal, basically citizen instantly, pretty much, which was super fortunate to be able to come here at a time of unrest in Albania and civil wars and just a chaotic atmosphere. So it was great to escape that and be able to come legally into the United States. But that presented the issues of like, now, okay, I'm a teenager in a new country with new challenges. And on top of that, I was the only English speaking person in my family to So now I had to carry the load.
You had to translate everything.
15,
you had to,
yeah, I had to translate everything. I had to basically become a parent.
Yeah, go get a grocery store and ask questions.
Yeah, go to the doctor's office with my parents, go to whatever office, go fill out paperwork. To this day, I don't want to fill out paperwork because I'm so traumatized by that at an early age. And, you know, but it had to be done. It fell on my shoulders. And that, I believe, coupled with, again, being a teenager in a new country, trying to fit in. So that's where depression, anxiety, and even an eating disorder came to the surface.
Really?
Eating disorder, wanting to fit in, depression, anxiety, because there was so much of an overload of, you know, my day-to-day school things. And then family issues that I had to help with. And coupled, I found out later in life that I have a genetic predisposition to anxiety and depression.
Interesting.
So that was a more recent revelation, even though I've known, because my mom has dealt with it, and hearing from her, my grandfather has dealt with it. So you kind of create that link that it has existed. Thus, I'm experiencing it. But then to kind of know from genetic testing that, wow, I am predisposed to all of these things. And now how do I work through them? So that was kind of the backstory coming to the country and kind of experiencing some of those issues that then kind of led me to where I am today. The desire to combat those in a natural way and not saying that I did take antidepressants, like I was on medication to help with that, but it never gave me the relief or the long-term relief that I needed.
You knew it wasn't the long-term solution.
It wasn't the long-term solution. It's just a cover-up of the symptoms. Mm. But how, you know, I always think of with anything, like if it gets taken off the market, if suddenly you don't have no access to pharmacies, or how are you innately going to deal with these issues? So I'm always for start with the things that you're able to do and achieve in a natural way by yourself. And if you need, I'm not against pharmaceuticals and obviously not against therapy, but can you start with the basics, or can you utilize them in conjunction with each other? And then hopefully it'll carry you to a point where you're able to maybe back off from pharmaceuticals, because it is known that they have side effects. And what is the side effects of exercise and eating healthy? None, really. It's actually just benefits from it.
Wow.
So
how long, you know, since you moved the country, you had this kind of emotional weight that you had to carry with the family, also fitting in school. What state were you living in? What city?
New York, upstate New York. Upstate New York. Yeah.
So you're trying to fit into a school in New York, a new culture, different type of, I guess, girls and how they communicate versus what you're used to in Albania. You're also getting into puberty. All these different things are happening
exactly.
all at the same time. When did you realize like you had signs of a eating disorder, and how long did it take until you were able to break that kind of that habit?
It was, you know, when you have an eating disorder, you're blind to it. Right. It's more the people that are outside of you that notice it. So it was teachers and parents that started noticing it, that I was losing weight drastically. But when you have this body dysmorphia, you could be the thinnest that you've ever been, that you could possibly be, that, you know, you're risking serious health problems. You don't see yourself as that.
Really? When you look in the mirror,
you see, you know, I'm fat, I'm big, I'm this, I'm that. You're just like the most negative. You're breaking yourself down. You just don't think that, because you have such advanced body dysmorphia and looking at yourself from a different lens that you don't recognize that.
What do you think is the main cause of body dysmorphia for most people? Is it an emotional trauma? Is it a hypercriticism they get from parents or peers? Is it a pressure from seeing marketing and society that, like, oh, I'm not enough, and so I need to become like that thing? What is the main
cause? I think it's
cause?
A combination of all of what you mentioned. Mm. It's hypercritical parents. I love you, Mom, but if I didn't get the highest grade in class, if I wasn't first in class, you know, if you're not first, you're last. Kind of mentality, which comes with amazing side benefits when it comes to drive and achieving and overachieving in life, but it comes with a huge weight on your shoulders to be the best. And that is not always required to be successful, to be the best, to look the best. So I think it's a combination of all those things. I think there's the societal pressures that weigh on young people that are in their formative years. And yeah, the comparison of unrealistic beauty. And for me at the time was all of those factors, as well as trying to figure out how to fit in a new place, new country, new culture, you know, trying to control something that felt controllable amongst an uncontrollable situation.
So is that a common theme that you've heard from other women that have had, you know, an eating disorder or body dysmorphia in the past, that they felt out of control, and the way feel a sense of control is with your body or with foods?
It is one of the main things that leads to that, is trying to control something that feels controllable in your life.
Wow, because you can't control anything around you,
right,
but you can control.
Exactly, control, yeah.
Interesting. So how long did it take until you started to, I guess teachers were telling you, or peers or friends or family, but when did you start to say, oh yes, this is a problem I need to take care of?
It took a couple of years. It took a couple of years and therapists and being prevented from being in sports, because sports was something that I was really interested in. So I was stopped from participating in sports.
Because you got so skinny?
Because I got so skinny and unhealthy that... That was kind of one of the beginning sort of wake-up calls that, you know, I couldn't do one of the things that I absolutely loved. But again, like that voice of like, you know, you don't look the way that you're supposed to look, like persisted for a while, for a few years. And then I was utilizing working out to, again, while understanding that, hey, you have to nourish yourself. So I started to increase the caloric intake, but still not to the degree that was needed. And then trying to outweigh that
with working out.
So
you're negating the... Really? So what was the caloric intake that you would take, if you could, you know, guess, at the times where you were at your lowest with body dysmorphia or eating disorder?
Anorexia.
With anorexia,
it was very minimal. And I don't want to, because I don't want to influence anybody to even consider doing anything like that, because it was very unhealthy, but it was very minimal.
Like under 1,000 calories a day, or?
Way less.
Like a few hundred calories a day.
Yeah, a few hundred calories
a day.
It's very unhealthy. Very unhealthy.
When a woman thinks, I want to eat less because I want to lose weight today, maybe they don't have body dysmorphia or anorexia or eating disorder, but they're just thinking, I want to lose weight, and so I'm going to go into extreme calorie deficit.
Right.
What is happening to a woman's body when they, for long periods of time, do 1,000 calories or less, or 500 calories or less a day? I'm not talking about like 24-hour fasting here and there, but just like long periods of time, what happens to a woman's body?
Yeah, your body goes into shutdown mode, basically. So your hormones start to go off their regular cycle. Your body, literally goes into shutdown mode, because now it needs to protect what it has. And not produce the unnecessary things that a normal functioning body would require. So you start, you know, losing your period. You start losing hair. So basically, it's just your body shedding all what it considers to be unnecessary functions.
Wow.
even though they're super necessary, but like to the basic survival,
preserve energy
like the basic, super basic needs of a human, it starts to shut down all of those other functions of the body. I did at that point lose my period.
Really?
And then I had to work on gaining it back.
How long did it take to kind of gain back your normal hormone function? Or
It wasn't that long. It was within like a year, if I remember correctly. It was a long time ago.
Still, wow.
but no laughing matter, because it is an important part of being healthy, physically 100%. And mentally. 100%.
Yeah. Where is the level of self-love? Like, how much self-love did you have during that season of life? And I don't want to speak for other women or other men who have maybe are going through anorexia, but where is that typically seem to be, or where is that for you? Did you have a low self-esteem and low level of self-love? And then how did you learn to believe in self, love self, to kind of course correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's almost like no self-love, because if I were to have any self-love, I wouldn't do that to myself, right? Because now you're basing your self-love and self-esteem on an image that you can't even see clearly. Mm. So if you can't see yourself or who you are, and you're wanting to diminish that image, I would say that there was almost no self-love, because you don't have a clear image of yourself, and you're focusing that love on an idealistic image that's outside of you.
A perfect image that you can't attain. A perfect image
that's outside of you that you can't attain. You could attain it, but in your eyes, you know, like you're saying, let's say you've lost a certain amount of weight, but you're still not able to see that. That's why it's like that. You're never able to grasp for that image, because you're not able to see yourself realistically.
So you had very little self-love mm-hmm. at that season, right?
Yeah.
When did you start to have a lot of self-love and self-compassion and see yourself differently, to treat yourself differently?
I was doing all these things. I was trying to be the thinnest that I possibly could, and I still wasn't happy. So there was like miscommunication there between, like, you're going to be happy, you're going to be satisfied when you're this weight. And that wasn't happening. And I was constantly depressed and not happy. So then that came into question, like, how are we going to do this? Like, how are you going to reach that level of happiness? Because obviously this is not working. So then I did, a turning point for me was when I saw a primary care physician, that she was running marathons, and she was like, I think in her 50s, and running one, I don't want to exaggerate and say every month, but it was at least every 3 months she was running a marathon.
Consistently.
So she got me into running, into working out for the right reasons, for that mental aspect, and started to shift nurturing my body to fuel the runs and to fuel the working out. So that was like the first shift.
You're like, what, 17, 18, 19 around this time?
I was like early 20s, yeah.
Okay.
Early 20s. 20s. Wow. Yeah. During that whole period from like 15 to 20, early 20s, it was a struggle of like a push and pull of wanting to look a certain way and dieting and overworking out and just trying to, like, you know, I went from under eating anorexia to like binge eating. I never did fully go into like bulimia, but like I did struggle with those two extremes, because it's a, you know, you can only take so much when you're constriction, and then you're going to go the opposite way.
Yes,
exactly.
Wow.
It was that, and it was actually a cousin too also saying that, Sonata, like, you're not like really leaning into one of the joys of life, which is eating and experiencing, you know, the food that you're eating. And your constant thinking is around what I should be eating, should not be eating, so that I don't gain weight, versus sitting with what you're eating and in enjoyment of it.
Wow.
So that was kind of a little bit of a light bulb moment, that eating doesn't have to be like such a chore, a weighing factor, but more of a joy of life and enjoyment. And I know nowadays that there's so much information out there and so much stress around like eating, what to eat, what to not eat. Fruit is suddenly controversial. I'm like, really? So it just, you know, taking it back to the basics, you know, and going back to, hey, food is actually a joy of life. Yes, it feeds our ability to function, but it's also, at least for me, a joy, you know.
That's beautiful. Yeah. When did you start to feel like, oh, I've I've started to got these things under control. My perception of myself, my weight, my food, my working out. I'm not too extreme in one way. I have a good sense of self, self-image, and I feel like I'm in a consistent, healthy place. What years was that?
I mean, in my early 20s, it was when I started to make that shift. I, if I can remember the book, that Overcoming Overeating, because that's what I was doing at that point, which is this one and the same kind of, you're just not restricting, you know, you are restricting because you are thinking this food is good, this is bad. And now you're maybe overeating the things that you think they're good, but nothing should be in excess, right? So that was kind of a turning point in my early 20s. I was realizing that I could eat, nourish my body, and then and get the physical activity that I needed and be in a stable physical weight and function properly, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was then later on in my early 30s that I shifted from cardio and running and marathoning to more weightlifting.
Interesting. So for almost a decade, you were like cardio, running, like that's a lifestyle. Yeah. What did your body, I mean, not that we should focus on body image, but what was your body, what did your body look like in your 20s then when you were in cardio mode, running did long distances versus weight training, lifting mode?
What if you could make your New Year's resolutions automatic? Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. Basically, Acorns does the hard part so you can give your money a chance to grow. Head to acorns.com/Lewis or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisor, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/Lewis.
What makes someone a leader? It can be a tough question to find just one answer for. But one thing is for sure, true leaders lead by example. And a true leader takes risks too. They plunge into life with determination. For those who lead by example and who approach life with true passion, there's the Range Rover Sport, a new dimension of sporting luxury. Get ready to elevate your desires with the dramatic and uncompromising Range Rover Sport. Experience its world-renowned off-road capability with adaptive off-road cruise control, which monitors ground conditions and acclimates to the present terrain. Plus, agility, control, and composure are achieved with the dynamic air suspension, while adaptive dynamics reduce unwanted body movements to deliver smooth and composed handling for focused on-road performance. It's time to rise to every occasion in the Ranger Rover Sport, where sophisticated refinement meets visceral power. Build your Range Rover Sport at LandRoverUSA.com. That's LandRoverUSA.com.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
Next on Nada Yada Island.
I knew I deserved so much more, so I left. I finally switched to Metro and got what I was looking for.
Get one line for only $25 a month with AutoPay. Just bring your phone to Metro and experience all the data you want on the largest 5G network. That's Nada Yada Yada, only at Metro by T-Mobile.
First month is $30. Bring your number and ID. Offer not available if with T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days.
It shifted. That's interesting because I was doing cardio and that during like my 20s, and my weight would drastically shift. You know, so I would go into being super thin if I was running, if I was training for a marathon, thin, not a lot of muscle definition, to then when I was not training as hard, kind of being a little bit rounder and softer. Mm-hmm. But then when I started the strength train, I've never been so consistent in how I looked and how I feel and how I feel looked. Look,
what is the
it's been years of like actually being super consistent in the physical aspect. And
what is the difference that you feel emotionally, spiritually, psychologically between almost a decade of cardio training mostly versus years of strength training?
Yeah, there's a draining aspect with that much cardio. And while you can look a certain way, that maybe the society thinks that it's, feminine, thin, and not a ton of muscle definition. But when I shifted into strength training, I leaned into my confidence and my self-esteem like skyrocketed.
Really?
Because that's where you step into your power, into your true strength, and occupy space and utilize what you're born with. You're born to have muscle definition. Otherwise it wouldn't be there, the ability to do so. So when I fully leaned into that, it just completely shifted my self-confidence. The way I looked at myself went from I'm not thin enough, I don't look thin enough, to like I want to look as strong as I possibly can. I want to develop as much muscle as I possibly can. And then, we can talk about that too, like, and how that feeds into health and longevity.
Sure. I mean, there's been a huge wave of research and science, and people like Dr. Gabrielle Lyon and Dr. Marie Claire, who are talking about the importance of protein specifically for women.
Absolutely.
Protein and muscle building.
Yeah.
For health, for longevity, for also managing kind of the menopause phase of being a woman, and just like being able to navigate that with more balance, I guess. Mm-hmm. And this, it seems like in the last year or two, that has been the primary focus of many female experts. Mm-hmm. Speaking to women, like, yeah. Start building muscle.
Absolutely.
But I don't feel like I ever heard that before, because a lot of women don't want to look bulky. They don't exactly. want to look too strong or too muscular or less feminine. So how have you learned to navigate the psychology of you going from what society or what maybe you thought was a more feminine, skinnier look for a decade of cardio versus a more strong feminine look in these past years? How have you navigated that when maybe society says, a lot of women say, well, I don't want to look bulky or strong.
For sure. Yeah. I do get that comment a lot.
Really?
Or I have, not a lot. I should not say that. Every so often there will be a comment of like too masculine or, things like that. And it doesn't bother me, honestly, because it's that person's perspective of me. And that's not the perspective that I have of myself.
That's great.
And how I made that shift was organically, because I know what feeling that gave to me. Like, I know how I feel when I lift, when I feel stronger, versus when I try to diet myself to my skinniest version. I didn't love myself at that time. I did not feel strong. I felt weak. I felt frail. Versus now, I feel strong. I feel confident. I feel, I don't want to say invincible, but there's points. Yeah. When, sure. It's like that when you do lift and when you're pushing yourself, that you do feel invincible. You
feel unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Like, I can take on anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
You didn't feel that all the time when you were in the cardio world?
No, not really. I mean, you do get some endorphins from running. You do feel some of those good mm-hmm. feeling, endorphins when you run. The runner's high is real.
Sure, yeah.
Not in the same fashion, I would say. Not in the
it's
same
not
fashion.
Strength.
It's not strength.
Yeah, yeah. It's endurance.
Exactly.
Right? Run long distances, exactly. And there is strength in endurance.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There is confidence in that, and it's overcoming hard things, but it's not as strong as muscle.
And at the end of the day, yes, you can get those similar sentiments from a lot of modalities, from cardio, from running, or from strength training, or from Pilates or yoga, whatever that does it for you. But for me, I think of longevity. It's come to that point where I'm like, quality life, quality longevity, being able to live unassisted when you're later years,
yeah.
in the 70s, 80s, 90s, hopefully.
Yeah.
And beyond.
The commercial that I remember seeing a lot in the, I guess, 90s on TV was, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah.
And you see all these like old grandparent, grandma, grandpa on TV who are like, I've fallen and I can't get up because they literally
cannot
fell over and they can't push themselves off the ground. They don't have the muscle strength to just stand up. And it's so funny. You don't think about it as a kid. You're like, oh yeah, I can get up. But when you're older, if you don't build muscle in your youth, it's going to be so much harder to build it when you're older.
Absolutely.
Do you know this? Do you know any of the research out there about how much harder it is to build muscle after 40, 50, 60 years old versus before?
I think it's different for men than women. And in some situations to the higher end, it's almost what men are almost twice as able as women to build muscle. So I think for women, it's even more important to try to build that muscle when you can. I think it's so funny because I wrote the, I think in the, I'm like, I'm not going to remember all
what's
of it.
What's, yeah, what's the stat? What's the
stat? So for, if you're going to like your 40s, it's basically 0.2 to 0.7 pounds of muscle per month. And then double, and then 2.4 to 8.4 per year. So like on the high, on the low end is 2 pounds per year to pounds per year. If you're going after it, like true, intense, maximal strength training.
You should try to be gaining 2 pounds of muscle per year.
That's your ability.
That's your ability.
Your ability.
Like if you went all in.
If you run all in.
You could only gain about 2 pounds
in
a year.
In their 40s.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how easy
And it drops, you know, in the 50s is like 1.2 to 6 pounds
per year.
Of muscle per year.
That's if you're training like 3 to 5 days a week, hard, heavy, like.
I mean, you know, maybe genetically sometimes some people can be a little bit more,
on average, though,
but on average that's,
And how easy is it to lose muscle? Like if you get sick for a couple of weeks or don't train for a month, like how easy is it for a woman in their 40s and 50s to lose muscle?
It starts within like 2 weeks. You start to lose muscle. And you start losing muscle in your 30s. You start to lose muscle at about 3 to some studies say 5, some studies say 8 on the higher end percent of muscle mass per decade. I think it started in your 30s. Wow. Yeah. So
you're fighting that natural, if you're sedentary for your life, you're just going to lose muscle.
You're going to lose muscle. So that's why it's so important to start early on to build as much as you can. So then you can kind of offset the muscle that you will
eventually lose. Yeah. When you're 80, 70, you're going to lose it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Have you tracked how much muscle you've gained in the last 10 years?
I'm not huge on like numbers on like, all right, let's draw. I don't want to get in my own head. This is, there's some people that benefit from that, but there's some people like me who have suffered through some of these eating disorders that stay away from weighing myself. It doesn't have that effect on me anymore. Sometimes if I want to hop on it just to be like, hey, I knew that was going on, cool. And it doesn't have that effect on me. But I try to stay away as long as in my heart I know that I'm doing everything that I can to train as hard as I can, to eat the right way, get in the right amount of protein, carbs and fats, etc. If I know that I'm doing that, I don't need any measurements to tell me how I'm doing.
I guess it's interesting if we think about it, like, I don't know, we didn't have scales back in the day, right? There was no scale a couple hundred years ago, I guess, to like weigh yourself. Right. It wasn't a priority, but now everyone's got a scale and they check it every day, a lot of people. What is the negative for a woman who wants to weigh themselves and see a number every single day? What is the downside to weighing yourself for women versus the pro of having that number that they see every day?
It's going to dictate how you feel on that particular day. And do you really want your mood and your day to be dictated by a number on a scale? That's what I always say. Why do you want your day to be dictated by that? You know progress. Like, we lie to ourselves. We're good at lying to ourselves, but we know when we're progressing, when we're regressing, when we're stagnant, right? So I don't want my day to be dictated by a number. Now, granted, there is, if you are able to remove that aspect and somehow not allow that number to dictate your day and simply utilize that as a way to track progress, but not every day, because you're not going, your body fluctuates within a day, from day to day. But if you're measuring yourself maybe in like, at the most like weekly increments.
But even then, if you're like you, right. If the number doesn't hit your expectation,
exactly.
1 week of hard work and you're exactly. like, I didn't see the results. Exactly. You may feel defeated and then start binge eating.
Exactly.
And yeah. feeling like, ah, what's the point
what's
of this?
What's the point?
I worked
because,
so hard.
Because progress takes time.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to put muscle on. Easier when you're a beginner, right? Because your body's going to respond right away because it's something new. And then a little bit harder if you're more advanced lifter or person that works out. But progress takes time, whether it is gaining muscle or losing weight. And that's the thing. I think that's why most people quit, because they don't see the progress in the short term. And it takes 3 to 6 months to see true results.
Wow.
And people mostly drop a new program within the first like 8 weeks. I think there's like statistics like 50-65% of people will quit in the first 3 to 6 months of starting like a workout program with a, and then if it's like New Year's, it's like 80% of the people will
yeah.
quit.
I have this, it says a study show that 88% of people who set New Year's resolutions fail. They fail within the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, what do you think is the biggest barrier to maintaining goals then so that people don't fail so quickly when they start?
I think the first thing, it is like those unrealistic expectations. Set realistic goals. For me, if you are just starting out, if this is something completely new, is set that goal of just showing up. Show up every day. Create that consistency. Consistency is the primary goal that maybe somebody should aim for. In my eyes, aim for that consistency every day, day in and day out, to then bring you to carry you to that point where you have created a new habit. Mm-hmm. And it takes time to create habit. I mean, there was a misconception of like taking 21 days. Actually, it's much longer than that. I mean, 21 days is a good starting point because it's a little bit more than the 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But if you're really wanting to solidify a habit, especially when it comes to working out, it's like a little bit over 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say 6 to 6 days. But
yeah, I love what you're saying about this, because if everyone could focus on making the goal, making the process the goal, as opposed to the results the goal, they would live a better life.
Exactly. Process is the goal.
Yeah.
Process is the goal.
It's so hard though. I mean, almost two years ago, you know, COVID hit. I was training a lot before then. Then COVID and breakup, emotional stress, kind of all that stuff. Like just life happened where I gained a lot of weight for myself, right? And I was at like 255 at my heaviest, but just didn't feel good, right?
Right.
I'm 6'4", so I'm a big guy. It doesn't like look like obese, but it just didn't feel good, right?
Yeah.
And then 2 years ago, I really got consistent in the training, and I'm down to 225-ish. So I've dropped a lot of weight, but I'm still not where I want to be. But it's like, but I'm training so hard. Mm-hmm. And even me knowing as an athlete that it just takes time, but kind of like letting go of the expectation or the goal of like, this is where I want it to be. Yeah, I can still have that vision in my mind, but a lot of it is the acknowledgement of showing up and just say, did I do the right thing today?
Exactly.
Did I do the right things for my health, for my mind, for my future self today?
Exactly.
And the results will eventually come if I keep showing up for me.
Absolutely.
And, but it can take a while, you know, to get the results you want. Mm-hmm. And that, so I love what you're talking about. Make the process the goal, not the result.
And are you comparing yourself to this image that you had or you were at some point, you know?
Yeah, it's like 22 and I'm like an elite athlete. Yeah.
Can you be the best version of yourself that you could possibly be now?
Yeah.
It is hard. It is hard because we unfortunately have My body has changed from a year ago, from 2 years ago. Absolutely. It happens. Mm-hmm. But am I in my power? Can I honestly say to myself that I'm doing everything that I can mm-hmm. with regards to working out, strength training, with regards to nutrition, with regards to sleep, recovery, you know, all of the components mm-hmm. that will bring you to that optimal self at this point in time. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, you're focused on that.
That's where I'm at, yeah.
That's interesting. There seems to be like, I don't know if this is the right terminology, but there seems to be trends with women's body sizes and types and structures mm-hmm. since I was like, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. It was all about being super skinny. Mm-hmm. Then it was about, you know, curvy and voluptuous. Then it's like, seems like it's going back to skinny. Like, it seems like there's these trends in the culture. Why do you think that, first off, is that accurate that there are trends for women in their way that mm-hmm. their body is supposed to look? Mm-hmm. If so, why does that change for women over the years?
There is definitely trending. There's been, like you said, you know, I agree with you that there's been, you know, the trend of being skinny and then curvaceous. And I don't know that it's necessarily being thin again. I hope not.
It's being like thin and strong.
I think there's a movement. There's a true movement with being.
Being like strong.
Being strong. And I love and appreciate all the mm-hmm. doctors that are coming forward and sharing their data on how strength and having as much muscle as possible is healthy for a woman. Not just quality of life now, but in their later years. I think a lot of these studies and these doctors that are coming forward with women specific, because I think a lot of the studies have been done on men, but with women specific studies that show that importance. So I'm hoping that's the new trend.
Yeah.
And that's here to stay.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, as you mentioned, when you moved to America, and you saw pressure from other teen girls mm-hmm. in your school. You saw media, marketing, you know, whatever it might be, campaigns of like celebrities that you see look a certain way.
Yeah.
But you're also a trainer for Kim Kardashian right now, and you have been for a while. And I'm assuming you're around a lot of top celebrities as well right. in that world.
Yeah.
How do you navigate knowing that you're working with a very influential woman
mm-hmm.
that women look up to, women want to look like, women want to, you know, emulate, maybe they feel comparison to, or a lack of comparison that they can't live up to the way she might look or something like that, or just other celebrities in general. How do you navigate, I guess, your work with someone like that, while also understanding that there's a 15-year-old out there
yeah.
who was once like you
yeah.
that maybe sees her and wants to be like her, and then does that help her, inspire her to eat healthier and train? Or is it like, let me go, you know, extreme food deprivation? Like, I don't know. How do you navigate just that in your mind?
Honestly, that was one of the main reasons why I accepted to work with Kim, is because she does have this influence and she decided that she wanted to step into her strength and build muscle and maintain that muscle, because also she realized that muscle is important for her health and longevity, not just aesthetically speaking. And for me, that was an opportunity to help her, but also help other women that she is influencing. Obviously, her reach is way bigger than mine is. So that was one of my biggest driving factors for working with her and other celebrities that I have, is to send that message of strength to the women out there, that strength is beautiful, strength is health and quality longevity. So that's, to me, that was I see that as a positive, having a positive effect on women.
I am always on the hunt for alternatives to regular coffee, and I found one that I'm really loving right now called Rise Mushroom Coffee. Unlike regular coffee, Rise Mushroom Coffee helps you stay energized and focused while supporting your overall well-being so you can more fully embrace the day. Rise Mushroom Coffee is a custom powerhouse blend of 6 functional mushrooms crafted to fuel your body and mind all day long. It helps with all-day energy, sharper focus, healthy digestion, and immune support. And with over 150,000 five-star reviews, you likely won't be disappointed. Even when I drink a cup of Rise at the beginning of the day, I love that I can feel my energy sustained throughout the whole day. Highly recommend you give it a try. Try Rise Mushroom Coffee with 15% off your first order at risesuperfoods.com/schoolofgreatness. That's R-Y-Z-E, superfoods.com/schoolofgreatness. Don't just wake up, awaken with Rise.
Because you see Kim leaning into strength training more.
Absolutely. I mean,
that's what you're working with her.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. She loves it. I mean, that's not, and she
did she always do that before?
No, she didn't. It was more cardio and Pilates and things like that, which again, everything has a place and a space and a time, but in my opinion, humble opinion, and I think research backs it up, strength training is queen.
Right. We don't have to speak about her that much, but what have you noticed in, I guess, over a year of strength training with Kim Kardashian about maybe just confidence levels or things like that? Has anything changed? Because she's been a pretty confident person already. She's got, you know, massive businesses. She's got a lot of success. Like, has she shared that? Anything you're allowed to share, or have you noticed something like that? Or
yeah, I mean, she with all the confidence that she already has, she feels definitely more confident, and she can't wait to train with me.
Really?
I mean, yeah, it's amazing. You know, if she perchance happens to not be training for a few days because of her very demanding schedule, you know, she's like, I can't wait to train. So that to me is like music to my ears to hear that somebody has made that leap and has leaned into strength training. And I've seen her, and I, you know, to me, again, it's not as much about aesthetics, but about, you know, form, like, you know, walking around and doing things with great form.
Yeah, injury prevention.
And injury prevention and all of that. So it's beautiful.
I mean, we're here in LA, and it seems to be kind of like a hub of extremes here. Mm-hmm. And specifically with like weight loss drugs or these Ozempic type drugs and things like that. And it seems to be it's popular in LA. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know people who are on them or not on them. I don't like know these things, but I see extreme weight shifts in certain women after a few months. And I'm like, maybe that's drug free. Maybe that's Ozempic. I have no idea. What's your thoughts on the pros and cons of something like an Ozempic or these weight loss drugs specifically for women?
Mm-hmm. First starting point for me is always, have you tried doing it naturally, right? So are you able to? Because some people are just not able to get to that point, right? So for me, it's like starting with the attainable things that you can naturally, like nutrition and working out. And if that hasn't worked and you are, as a matter of fact, somebody that is a candidate for that drug, then there's more and more research that shows that can be helpful in a lot of aspects, not just losing weight, but health-wise. So as with any other therapies, pharmaceutical therapies, I'm not necessarily opposed to them, but there's a place and time for them. So for me, it's like, have you tried the foundation, which again, we know is eating right and working out, and getting enough sleep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Meditating, for me, meditating is huge. Did I mention everything? Yeah. So like, if you're focusing on having those, that foundation, and you still are struggling, then maybe it's time to talk to a professional to see if that is something that would be of benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, again, there has been studies out there with drastic weight loss. I'm not on board with that. So if it's happening, even with Ozempic, if you're utilizing it and you're experiencing drastic weight loss, that is not healthy, because you're losing not just fat, but you're losing lots of muscle in that process.
Really?
But if it's done to with kind of micro dosing, again, is what studies show, is that you're able to maintain muscle mass while slowly losing weight.
That's interesting. Yeah. It just seems like a lot of people just have lost weight really quickly, is what it seems like. Again, right. I don't know who's using it or who's not using it. It's like, it's hard for me to tell, but it seems like that's what's been happening. And that scares me.
Right? Yeah, that is super scary. That is scary. The drastic weight loss, no matter what way it's done, if it's a drastic weight loss and if it's done because you're restricting your food intake and you're working out like crazy, or whether you're doing something like GLP-1 like Ozempic, then that's not good.
Yeah,
that is not good.
This is a interesting question I have for you, Sanada. I'm curious. When you know that also, like, women, I don't want to say all women, but there's a tendency that women may compare themselves to other women.
Yeah.
And you have content out there that may seem unattainable for a lot of women. Right? I don't know if that's what you're hearing or maybe someone said that, but I can only imagine some woman is scrolling who's not healthy or not fit or maybe like not confident in themselves. And they see some of your videos and they're like, this woman is a superwoman. Like, someone may be really inspired by that and say, awesome, that's an example that I can lean into and I can follow her programming and I can maybe one day be like that in my own way. Whereas other women might say, dang it, she's like too good looking, or she's too fit, or she's too shredded. Like, how is she even? I could never do that. How do you navigate the uncertainty that women might have to feel like they'll never be as strong or fit or lean as you, or be able to do the workouts the way you do them so effortlessly based on what it may look like for them, versus I'm here to empower and inspire women, not show them that they're not enough.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that personally?
It's, to me, like, that my intention is to never have anybody compare me to them and have them feel bad about themselves. Right. Like, that would absolutely, that is not my intention. Like, my goal and my desire is to empower women to step into their strength, to feel the strongest that they possibly can, to embrace their musculature, their strong bodies, to embrace that. So for me, that's been my desire, to kind of embody this strong person with muscle so that women feel empowered to aim to build muscle and to look in the best way of version of themselves, not me. Obviously, I have a different genetic makeup, you know, than somebody else. Like, we were genetically and we're biodiverse. We're genetically diverse. So, it might be unrealistic for some women to aim to look exactly like me. But nobody should want to aim to look exactly like somebody else. So I always, and I say this, you know, in my posts, is I aim to be the strongest version of yourself, the best version of yourself, and not utilize me as a comparison, but rather as hopefully an inspiration of a woman that was struggling throughout her entire life and now has embraced her strength and my abilities. And it took years, you know, it took years. So I didn't suddenly wake up, lifted a couple of weights, and I'm here. I didn't always have great form. You know, that's one of the things that people always praise, like, great form. How are you able to do that? I didn't wake up doing that. It was just years of practice, years of kind of perfecting my craft to be able to do that.
With this much awareness and attention about who you are now, from the last, I guess, 8 years, I think you've been on social media, that you said, like, and just the following and the views you get and the attention you get.
2019, actually.
2019. Okay, so six years ago. I mean, it's been, no one knew who you were. In the last 6 years, a lot of people know who you are. And you're working with one of the biggest celebrities in the world. What has that been like for you, psychologically or emotionally, to deal with now everyone's critiquing you, whether it be positive or negative? and you're working with big celebrities. How has that been for you as a human?
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest, the threshold that scared me the most was hitting 100,000 followers. That was like, whoa, there's 100,000 people that are looking at what I do. And then for some reason, it kind of normalized after that. It doesn't really...
So every million, it's like, okay, just another million. Yeah, yeah.
No, now that I take it for granted by any means, I'm so grateful for the platform, for my audience. I never take it for granted, but it doesn't have that, you know, fear correlated mm-hmm. with it. You know, it's not... because I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm saying, I feel to a certain degree, so it doesn't, when I was just first starting out, obviously you're still kind of building your confidence and navigating that. So, but to kind of go back to, I think what you were asking, like how has that affected me personally? In the beginning, you do deal with a lot of, this person said that, so now, you know, am I really that? Or, and then you just, learned, at least I have learned to see that as not a reflection of who I am. I know who I am. I know the message that I'm trying to portray, and I know, you know, that I'm there for service. You know, that's what makes a purposeful life is being of service to others. And that's, I don't get emotional, but that's what fulfills me is like being of service and providing as much service as I can to as many people as I can, especially women, because, I'm a woman and was, you know, I'm in a household of women. I have two younger sisters. So that always has been kind of keeping in mind what my goal is and who I am and not being affected by people that will yeah. try to speak negatively yeah. in the process. Yeah.
When did you start to think about your life of being in service to help others?
When did I start to
Was that like something earlier in your life, or was that in the last 6 years? Like, I want to start like really adding value and trying to serve people, whether it's five always, people or 5 million. Yeah,
I think that's always been, I think it came within the territory of experiencing depression. Mm. I think that's, you know, I think that sense of purpose is linked to depression somehow. So. Right. I was struggling with that for a while. You know,
How old were you, or what?
I mean, I went to business school. I got a master's in business, and you know, I did this all of this accomplishment. Graduated summa cum laude with the highest honors wow. in 3 years, and then in 1 year for my business degree.
Wow.
So, you know, I was accumulating all of these accolades, and it just wasn't adding up. Like it wasn't fulfilling to me, because it wasn't, you know, it didn't feel like it was coming from a sense of like of purpose or of service, rather, to the greater good. And and now where I am at, knowing what strength training and nurturing myself in all aspects, nutrition, like we were talking, sleep, meditation, and recovery, like knowing what that has done for me, for my mental health, that's been kind of my driving factor to bring that to the world. And yeah.
Wow. How long did you feel like you were experiencing depression for, or your mental health was struggling?
It started when I was in my teens, you know, like I said, with dealing with the eating disorders, and then realizing that there was like a sense there was depression that was going hand in hand with that, and anxiety, and you know, as I say, those monsters in the closet never go away. You just develop better tools to manage them. So for me, working out is one of my main tools mm-hmm. in my tool belt, that, you know, I'm feeling a certain way, I know I'm going to go get a workout, and it's going to shift my day.
Everything.
So there are those moments where I absolutely don't feel like working out, but I know what I will achieve on the other side of that. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, one of my main motivating factors, along with wanting to be independent in my later years, wanting to have a quality of life and longevity that I can rely on. I think the other one is I don't want to feel depressed. I don't want to feel anxious. I don't want to deal with those things that I know I am predisposed to deal with. So,
and having
you can't override those. That's just like the hand that you're dealt.
Sure.
But it's like what tools in your tool belt do you utilize to best deal?
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. What do you feel like is your biggest insecurity or fear now?
I always think, am I giving my best self to my audience, to the people that I influence? That is always my the thing that, if there is one thing that keeps me up at night, it's that. It's, am I providing the best value that I possibly can out there to the world? So that's the one thing that I always strive to do better. That's why I launched the We Rise app. I had an app prior to that, and I relaunched and rebranded last January. So we're coming up on a year, and I'm always striving to make it better, whether it's like with the latest research and what it'll be. It'll be light years ahead of what it is now, because we're really aiming for it to be a female empowerment and development platform, not just a fitness app.
Wow.
That's what we strive every day to perfect.
How do you navigate not falling back into an obsessive perfectionist critical state versus progress, consistency, and a healthy balance? When you have that type of like older personality, it's like, how do you make sure you don't go into that in extremes with work, you know, body, you know, perfection in a different way?
Yeah. You're just more conscious of that self-talk. You're just more conscious of those patterns. I think that's with everything. You just become conscious of the way that you talk to yourself, conscious of negative past patterns, and then you course correct. And It is good enough. It is good, because as we were talking about earlier, you know, great and perfection can be the enemy of good.
I know, right?
So I'm always conscious of that, to not aim for perfection, but to aim for value and good. Yeah.
And now, a next level moment from AT&T Business. Say you've sent out a gigantic shipment of pillows and they need to be there in time for International Sleep Day. You've got AT&T 5G, so you're fully confident, but the vendor isn't responding, and International Sleep Day is tomorrow. Luckily, AT&T 5G lets you deal with any issues with ease, so the pillows will get delivered and everyone can sleep soundly, especially you. AT&T 5G requires a compatible plan and device. 5G is not available everywhere. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Have you ever done therapy also, emotional therapy, instead of, you know, workout therapy?
I have.
What's been the biggest takeaway from that for you, or biggest lessons?
I'll be honest. Therapy for me has been...
Didn't work for you?
Not as much as working.
Sure.
But it works for a lot of people. It's been a long time, honestly, since I've been in therapy, and I definitely promoted do therapy. It's definitely great. Like I said, all of these are just tools that we accumulate and then we use, and whatever works best for you. For me, it's been more self-therapy.
Yeah.
I've read a ton of self-help books. I've read, you know, books that you'd read at in a collegiate level, you know, and that's how I self-educate, and that's how I self-help and self-actualize and analyze. Maybe it's a good time to say I've also done plant medicine, and that has been huge help for me and kind of being my own therapist, because that's the best way that I can describe plant medicine.
Sure.
Is being your own therapist, seeing yourself from the outside and looking at your patterns and looking at everything from a different perspective, kind of removed from that ego self.
Do you have a relationship with God or a spiritual practice?
I have a relationship with God. Yeah. I don't know that if it's in the context of the religion in a sense, or maybe it is inclusive of all of that. I just believe in the creator being the creator for all of us, one loving creator that is good and wants what's best for us, and that is not judging, mm-hmm. but that is loving. So
what do you think God wants for you moving forward?
To continue doing this work and to really actualize that I am of help and service to others, you know, because I do at times struggle with that. Like I was saying before, am I doing my best? Am I really being of service to humanity, to others? So I think really leaning into that yes, you know, if I actually help just one person, that is a life fulfilled. Mm. If I've changed, course corrected somebody's path, even by a small percentage, then that is an accomplishment.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Where do you think you'd be? Do you think you'd be as happy and healthy if you didn't have a relationship with God or a spiritual practice?
I think it's good to have somewhat of a relationship with whatever you believe, kind of that higher power to be. I think it's something to lean on. I think it's something to lean on. And for, you know, for people, it's different. For everybody is different what that could be or look like and what image you have in your mind. But whatever gives you that comfort that you're here for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a spiritual relationship or when you were in your teens and early 20s and struggling with, you know, the depression and things?
My grandma raised me to be religious and say prayers every night, and I think I lost that a little bit.
Mm.
And now I'm back at, you know, saying my prayers every night, and
you feel more peace now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Your parents still around?
Yeah, they are. My parents have two younger sisters. They're all in New York.
They're all in New York.
Yeah, they're still around.
What's the biggest lesson both your mom and your dad taught you?
My dad taught me to be strong and to persevere and to, never complain. He never complained. He went from being a doctor back in Albania to being a janitor when he came to the United States, even though we're legally here and everything.
Sure, sure.
But that's what he had to do.
He
knew English, but he knew to put his ego aside and just do what needed to be done to support his family. And from my mom is to like that compassionate spirit. And also, even though it led to some things that weren't so positive in my life, like that striving to be the best also mm-hmm. led to where I am today, I believe. So, yeah I thank her for that.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. What's the biggest lesson Kim's taught you?
She's a hard worker sometimes. I thought I was a hard worker. So, she inspires me in that way to be a hard worker, and beautifully balances that with having a family and having four children, so, and spending quality time with them. So having that balance, like that's inspirational.
That's cool. You've got an app called the We Rise app. How many women are in this community right now in this app?
Oh my gosh, I need words. Bring down
thousands
of women. Yeah, thousands of women. Tens of thousands of women are
all over the world.
All over the world that are achieving their best, strongest selves, and I'm so excited for it.
What do they get in the app? What are these women working on?
Well, what they're working on,
what's in the app?
So whatever experience level that you're in, so if you're beginner, intermediate, advanced, if you're working out from home or the gym, there is a program that is for them. And whether they want something to get started, like a 20-minute follow along that I'm with them every step of the way and kind of guide them through, they got that on there. So I think for every kind of walk of life, there is something in the app, and there is a meal planning and recipes and macro tracking. Right now, we currently have an expert nutritionist and an expert habits person. She actually is one of like the four PhDs in the world that works with habits to just help people establish good habits, get rid of habits that don't serve them anymore. And then on the nutrition side, you know, speaking about like, what are macros?
Sure.
And then how do we ensure that we, you know, intake enough protein and all of that? And that's just the beginning. We have huge plans.
That's great.
Yeah.
Where can they go to sign up for that?
WeRise.xyz.
Okay, awesome. I'm sure it's in your bio.
It's on my bio. Yeah. I'm not wearing the clothing, but I also have a clothing line called Zantoa.
Okay.
Making women slightly a little bit more motivated by wearing some cute workout clothes.
There you go. Yeah.
To work out.
Okay.
But, yeah. Yeah.
That's great. What can we do to be of best service to you moving forward with this community or people watching or listening right now?
Spread the word of strength. Spread the word that aesthetics will come as long as you put in the work to aim for health and longevity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the best place to find you on social media? What's your Instagram for people to follow?
Sonata.Greca.
Sonata.Greca.
Yeah. See, you see how much I love self-promoting. You know, in this whole conversation, this is probably like the most kind of slightly uncomfortable I've felt, because I don't like self-promoting. But yeah, without self-promoting, I guess what is of service, then you don't get people to take advantage of that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Where do you think you'd be if you didn't start putting content online 6 years ago?
If I didn't.
If you did not.
I don't want to think about like the previous jobs that I've done, because it was not fun. But I would do something. I would be in this space.
Yeah.
I would be in this space somehow, because I'm so passionate about it. So if I didn't have a presence, such a large presence in social media, I would probably do it in a small fashion.
Small communities, yeah.
Even if it was, you know, outside of the 9-to-5, which I was doing actually before I was teaching yoga classes and I was training
really
on the side while having my 9-to-5. And then, you know, I love that aspect so much, which is what led me to kind of start doing this and putting myself out there, putting my workouts out there. And one thing led to another.
Wow,
and here we are today.
So you were doing it on the side. You had a full-time job.
But then I was teaching yoga classes. And
you weren't teaching strength training.
And a little bit of strength training as well. Yeah. It has advanced from that point, that starting point. To where it is now, but I was doing that on the side and obviously doing my workouts. And then I decided, let's just put it out there, like whatever I'm doing every day. And you could see probably things have shifted from earlier on till now, but just put it out there every day.
Wow.
Get up in the morning, do my workout, film it as I'm doing a workout and to see where it leads.
When did you start to notice that like, oh, this is starting to take off? Like the content I'm posting daily, like, oh, it's actually getting out there and it's resonating with women. And
yeah, I mean, pretty fast it started to happen. I mean, it didn't shift from like, I think I had like 2,000 followers in 2019 when I started, if I'm 1 or 2,000 when I first started. And it started to happen gradually and then exponentially.
Really?
After that, I think that first period of like getting to, a few thousand was probably like the hardest, because it's like working out, you know, it's consistency and you don't see a ton of results.
Yeah.
But then you stay with it because you don't, you know, you just can't tell the future. You can't predict it from just that short period of time. So like with anything else, consistency.
So now I've got a couple final questions for you, but this is powerful. Thanks for sharing and being so open today. I appreciate it.
Of course.
This is a question I ask everyone towards the end. It's called the three truths. So it's a hypothetical scenario and question. Imagine you get to live as long as you want to live and you get to accomplish every dream you have. But for whatever reason, you have to take all of your content with you when you die. So we don't have access to the videos you posted, this interview, it's all gone. Anything you create from this moment moving forward, it's gone. Your app, it's gone, for whatever reason, hypothetical. But on the last day of your life, you get to leave behind three lessons to the world. And this is all we would have to remember your content by. call it three truths. What would those be for you?
I think the biggest thing for me is to do everything from a place of love. So whatever you're trying to achieve, achieve it and aim for it from a place of love. Aim to be the fullest version of yourself, and not that of somebody else, but the fullest version of yourself. And the third would be to treat everybody in a way that, I don't know if necessarily you want to be treated yourself, but in a way that I believe in a higher self, in the higher self would want you to treat, or God, if you will want you to treat the fellow man and woman with just compassion and love and understanding, stepping aside from judgments and what you have been taught to perceive.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Create from love, aim to be the fullest version of you, and treat others with your kind of your highest self.
Mm-hmm. In mind.
That's great. That's beautiful. I want to acknowledge you, Sonata, for your transformation and your ability to be consistent. And it sounds like it was very challenging leaving one country, coming to this place, and just having to deal with all the pressures of society, of school, of parents, and you needing to be the parent as a teenager. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of weight emotionally and physically. So I want to acknowledge you for overcoming that challenge and overcoming the depression and the sadness and the anxiety and the stress that you faced, and for starting to tap into the healthiest version of you and being consistent with that version of you, letting go of your old comparison ways and stepping into how can I just be my happiest, fullest self. So I acknowledge you for putting yourself out there also, you know, 6 years ago, deciding to say, hey, I'm gonna put my content out there and start to serve people the best way I can. And if it helps one person or millions of people, I'm just gonna do it consistently. So I acknowledge you for all of it. And I appreciate you for opening up so honestly during this conversation.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate you having me here today. It was a very enjoyable conversation. Thank you.
It's beautiful. One final question, Sonata. Sure. What's your definition of greatness?
I think it's embodying, again, the true, fullest version of yourself while being of service to others to the fullest capacity that you are able to.
It's beautiful. Sonata, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this and if you found value, make sure to share this with one friend. Just copy and paste the link and text a friend where you feel would be truly inspired by this episode as well. And also, make sure to click the follow button on Apple or Spotify, wherever you're listening to this episode, because we have a massive episode coming up next that I do not want you to miss. So make sure to follow this and be on the lookout for the next episode coming with some massive content and guests. Also, I have a brand new book called Make Money Easy. And if you're looking to create more financial freedom in your life, you want abundance in your life, and you want to stop making money hard in your life, but you want to make it easier, you want to make it flow, you want to feel abundant, then make sure to go to makemoneyeasybook.com right now and get yourself a copy. I really think this is going to help you transform your relationship with money this moment moving forward. We have some big guests and content coming up. Make sure you're following and stay tuned to the next episode on the School of Greatness. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's episode with all the important links. And if you want weekly exclusive bonus episodes with me personally, as well as ad-free listening, then make sure to subscribe to our Greatness Plus channel exclusively on Apple Podcasts. Share this with a friend on social media and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Let me know what you enjoyed about this episode in that review. I really love hearing feedback from you, and it helps us figure out how we can support and serve you moving forward. And I want to remind you, if no one has told you lately that you are loved,
you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.